Order. Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
22 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Ulmer be excused from the call of the House due to illness today.
Okay, Representative Ulmer is ill, thus excused from the call of the House. Our chaplain today is Father Dale Sarles of the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
Let us pray. Almighty God, perhaps there are some folks who believe it is simply customary and conventional to set aside the time to seek your guidance in the legislature. Maybe it would be difficult to prove otherwise. Yet a great man of prayer, William Temple, once said that when he prayed, coincidences happened, and when he quit praying, the coincidences stopped. In these moments of intercession, may it coincidentally happen that those good things which we pray for, you will strengthen us to labor for together. Amen.
Representative Hudson, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with
liberty and justice for all. Representative Randy Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask the unanimous consent that the prayer be spread across the journal.
Are there any objections as to having the prayer spread across the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the legislative journal for the 26th, the 27th, and the 28th legislative day.
I certify as to the correctness of the House Journal for the 26th, 27th, and 28th legislative days and House Supplement Number 13.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal for the 26th, 27th, and 28th legislative days and House Supplement Number 13 be certified.
Are there any objection as to the correctness of those journals? Hearing no objections, the journal stands approved. I think at this time we'll take and at ease to set up the chambers for the joint session. So will the House stand at ease? Will the chambers come to order? President, the gavel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The purpose of this joint session is to hear an address by the Honorable Don Young, U.S. Congressman. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call of the Senate be waived and all members of the Senate be shown as present.
Without objection, so ordered. Representative Ellis.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call of the House be waived and all members be shown as present.
Without objection. At this time, I'd like to take the pleasure of this to introduce Lou Young, our gallery. Will Representative Georgiana Lincoln and Senator Collins escort Congressman Young to the joint session? Where do you sit?
It's my pleasure today to introduce you, Don Young, Congressman for all of Alaska.
I'm looking for my wife.
She's been introduced already.
I want to know who that strange man is next to you. I know that my wife has been introduced before, but again, for my privilege, I didn't have a chance to clapping for her. I'd like to give her another hand, all right? course, that strange man is Bill Ray, one of my former colleagues and still a dear friend. Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, of course, members of the state legislative body, fellow Alaskans, I again thank you for inviting me here today to speak to you and with you. I know most of you know the history of my speaking before the legislative body. And last year, your reception was so warm after 10 years' absence and so gracious that I look forward to this day today. And I'm deeply honored. You're going to have your fair share this week of presentations by the Alaska delegation. In fact, if I were you, I would look upon this week of one with anticipation or dread. I'm not sure. But I can tell you myself, hopefully this will be an informative period of time and a period of time where we can exchange some ideas and thoughts as fellow elected legislators. I'd like to really go back a little bit in history. And some of you don't look forward to that. But to give you a little understanding how I see Alaska and where I think Alaska should be and where we should be going. I came to Alaska 33 years ago, and it wasn't the lure of the last frontier. It was really the spirit of Alaska. Because by that time in the lower 48, some of the spirit that was in Alaska was losing out in the lower 48. There was a feeling here in Alaska there was nothing Alaskans couldn't do. Everybody in there that I spoke to on the street, the legislative process, in the villages, everybody had the idea they could do anything they wanted to do. The Alaskan Highway had just been completed 17 years earlier. You know how massive that project was. And this year we celebrate the 50th year of the highway before the State Department came along. It is fitting that, again, as we celebrate that year with the idea of the spirit of Alaska built that highway. The spirit of America built that highway. The spirit that we can do anything we want to do. The word can't did not exist. And that spirit has been with Alaska for as long as Alaska has been here. Look at the challenges of survival that our native people have had to go through over these years. And they have survived and prospered. We've always marveled at the spirit of the sourdough, and songs have been written about the sourdough. I know myself, even around Juneau, as I traveled by helicopter, seeing mines, the tops of mountains, how in the world did they ever get the machinery to the top of those hills, those mountains, over those glaciers? How were the pipelines for water, the FE project, and the ditches built? It was built because they had the spirit. The fishermen, from the sailboats to the day, the spirit of going out and reaping the resources of our great seas at great adversary conditions. And during the period of time in my 33 years, that spirit has been strong. We've developed one of the largest tourist industries in the United States. We have been able to maintain a timber industry. We've opened numerous mining projects in the state of Alaska. We have built some new roads and a great many airports. We developed the finest military structure in the world in the state of Alaska. Every area of the state of Alaska has a military support of some sort. In 33 years, we completed the Parks Highway. We built the Dew Line, the Trans-Alaskan Pipeline during my era. We Americanized our fishing industry. And with that spirit, the Alaskan spirit, the can-do spirit, we have protected our environment, and we provided a strong and healthy economic base for the people of Alaska. And it's that spirit of Alaska first, the spirit of Alaska, that I, as your congressman, address issues in the Congress of the United States. And this remaining year of this session, I have five projects, some of them new, some of them old, that I am again going to go forth with all the spirit and drive to make sure it happens in the United States Congress. Now, I'm well aware that most of you have been reading and listening, some of it not good, some of it bad, about the cornerstone of my program, and I believe it's still the cornerstone of both my senators, and that's the opening of ANWR. Because this issue itself is not only for Alaska, it's for the state of Alaska and the nation. It is the jobs bill. And that's what we must concentrate in this state and the rest of the nation as jobs that are real jobs. It's not going to be easy. We all know that we're facing major hurdles. We face the liberal, and I say this without malice towards anyone in this room, the liberal leaning Democrat leadership in the United States Senate and the House, that their solutions are to tax more, spend more, give more, and delete the power of this nation, not to produce real jobs. But I'm going to suggest to you that because this last year we exported $49 billion for buying foreign oil, which is more than the whole Japanese debt itself, not a word is being said, and we're more dependent today than we were in 1973. And the people of America, when they find out how many jobs are being lost, and we're working on that, they're going to say enough is enough, and I look forward to passing ANWR legislation this year. If we do not, it will be passed in the future, and it's up to you as legislators to understand, don't put all of your eggs in one basket. Let's start diversifying our other states' resources to provide with the spirit of Alaska that economic base for the people of this great state. There's a plus on the side of ANWR. It is in the president's jobs bill. It is also, the administration has come forth with a 50-50 split, which is better than last year. It was 100% for the federal government and zero for the state of Alaska, which is unconstitutional. But now I can work from 50 towards 90, but truthfully, I think we'll have to go to court to get their full 90%. The second major goal that I have, and most of you are very supportive of this, is to make sure that a fair share of fish from Alaska stay in Alaska. The concept that our fisheries, I never privatized or Americanized our fisheries fleet off our shores, to have it all go to the states in the lower 48. It belongs to our processors on shore. It belongs to the Alaskan people. It is correct that we get our fair share, not only the revenues from those fish, but we have control of those fish products. It's jobs again. Jobs for our villages, jobs for Kodiak, jobs for Dutch Harbor, jobs for Sitka, jobs for Dillingham, jobs, jobs, jobs. Because if you don't have jobs, you don't have tax base. If you don't have jobs, you don't have that spirit. You as legislators must understand one thing, and I'm sure you do. I suggest respectfully you must back up Governor Hickel and his proposal to take the federal government to court whenever the compact is broken. It's absolutely necessary. And for those of you who do not think it's important, think of what has happened to us as a state since we became a state. When the people of Alaska agreed with the Congress, and Congress agreed with the people of Alaska. In 1980, they took 27 million acres of our land away from us that was ours under our Constitution. And there's been other numerous cases where the federal government treated us as a territory, not as a state. And it's time to say enough is enough. We must stand by that compact. It is important that the people of Alaska have a strong voice in the legislative branch, stressing the spirit of Alaska, as we're doing in Congress, that when the government is wrong, and yes, I'm part of it, but when the government is wrong, we must take them to task. I know I've been accused many times of being a little too aggressive. Never. Not too aggressive for the state of Alaska. It's important when you consider what's occurred. This Alaskan first philosophy, fighting against long odds, is what the spirit of Alaska is all about. The other issue that I'm going to work on, and most of you are aware of this, is the wetlands issue. Again, it goes back to the federal government. I spoke to you last year about this issue. We've made great progress. 175 co-sponsors. The president has turned his position around about 80 degrees from where it was to begin. But the concept that the federal government can come in through regulatory action, not by an action of Congress, and take private land from the individual, take state lands from the state, take native lands from the natives, is absolutely ludicrous. It's unconstitutional, and it's un-American. We expect passage of that legislation. It's going to take good support from this body to back up the position, because it concerns Alaska so much more so than any other state. And yes, you've read where Alaska's been deleted. And it has. But remember, we got here through regulations, not through law. We must have a law to keep the regulatory branches away from passing regulations that take away what is our just right. Another issue which I'm working on at this time, and it's one that's caught the national interest and has caught your interest, and that, of course, is the national health challenge. The 35 million people that are not today covered by some health insurance or health care programs. I'm going to suggest to you, as I am not going to do, to support an election political solution. There are those that are advocating a political solution and not a solution that has reality. There are those that propose to support the Canadian system, and it is failing. There are those that say that we can do this and it will not cost anything. Before you pass any legislation, as I'm suggesting in the Congress, we must thoroughly analyze all the ramifications. We must make sure that the services are rendered, but we must make sure they're available, and we must make sure they're affordable. If not, this nation, this state, is going to be further in the debt than we already are. I'm also supporting tax incentives. It's something that you can do on the state level. One of the things that discourages me somewhat, again, losing this Alaskan spirit, is I do not see a great deal of attraction for businesses to come to the state of Alaska, nor to the United States. There's a great deal of, I call it Japanese bashing today, a great deal of bashing of those that are competing against us. But the Congress hasn't analyzed why are we losing the businesses we are losing today. Why aren't we keeping the jobs within our borders? Why aren't we keeping our workers working? Because many of the laws that we have passed have discouraged business, either through the lack of good tax incentives, poor tax structures, no pass-through losses, or in fact making other restrictions and regulations impossible for them to produce within this nation. We must not let that happen in this state. We should be encouraging businesses to come into the state. And I know some of you in this room will disagree with that. But if you look at the potential of downfall of the oil production in the state and the lack of concentrated economic growth in this state, we can be in serious economic trouble in the very near future. We must somehow attract businesses into the state, which brings me to the transportation bill. We're working for sound and quick appropriations for the transportation bill, which will put about $257 million per year into the state for the next 5 years. You, the governor, will have a role in where those monies shall be spent. They're to be spent on restructuring and building new roads, a new access, so we can take and develop the resources that God's given us into this state. My friends, another thing that I'd like to suggest to you, that I commend all of you in this body for being public servants. Going back to the spirit of Alaska, the can-do attitude. Public service is an honorable institution. It's a sacrifice for each and every one of you. It's been a sacrifice for myself, one which I've enjoyed, but it has been. And I'm a little concerned about the spirit of Alaska being drugged down by those that cast aspersions upon each one of you and myself and everybody that holds public office, be it in the council, be it in the borough, state house, state senate, United States Congress, United States Senate itself, the President of the United States. I believe that that spirit of meanness is not the Alaskan spirit. We do have a democracy. We do have a great state. We have a form of government that everybody looks to. In fact, the Soviet Union collapsed to become part of us, a free nation, capitalistic oriented, not communistic. And when I read and see the media demean you or myself, I ask them, what other solution do they have? If they have one, bring it forward. Because each day that attack occurs, that spirit of Alaska, that can-do spirit, gets further down and further down. I am going to continue to keep my spirit up, to wave that Alaskan flag, to bring it to the Congress and to the public, with your blessing and backing, to make sure that every Alaskan citizen, man, woman, and child, will have that spirit with them in the future. God bless you and thank you. I'll answer questions.
Thank you, Congressman. We will entertain questions from the joint session. Senator Menard.
Kirk.
Congressman, you talked a lot on jobs and job orientation. One of the things that we were disappointed with the Mat-Su delegation and the whole state was the Job Corps and the ability to put that together to train Alaskans for jobs of the 90s. How do you see that coming together? I know it was an OMB budget that came forward from the president. Does it look like there's strong possibilities to bring that back online this year?
Kirk, I can tell you that there's an excellent chance that that will be online. The budget came down through Darman that eliminated three of the six skill training centers, and one of them had already been dedicated. One of them was dedicated, completed this week, and one other, frankly, is done. The money is there. The money was appropriated for the one in Palmer, the federal share of it. You've put your fair share up. State's put its fair share up, and I'm not giving up on that. I, very frankly, as I've told many people, the president submits a budget, as the governor must submit a budget, and it's up to the Congress to write it correctly. So I'm very confident that the delegation will be able to get that project on, keep it on track, and make sure it works. Absolutely correct, too. Yes, sir.
Mackey. Congressman, I was wondering if you could perhaps tell us how you feel about the IFQ proposal. That's a matter of great debate in our state on both sides of the issue, and where do you see that thing going?
That's like asking somebody if you love your mother-in-law or your Cadillac. I'll be right up front with you. It is an issue that I am not happy with at this time. There are those that are supporting the IFQs within the state and those that are not. My reluctance to get directly involved in it, and I will not be bashful about this, is I've tried to stay out of the council's recommendations because the council should be isolated from political influence. I am going to suggest respectfully that those that support it will have their days in court and those that do not support it will have their day in court. And then it'll be up to the Department of Commerce to decide which is the correct route to go. My reluctance personally in supporting it, I think it deprived many of those that have been in the fishing business. And very frankly, those deckhands, and it also has, in a way, will eliminate any future activities for those that might want to get into it. But there also is a need we must recognize about the overfishing aspect of it. So I want you to present your views to the appropriate authorities. You have a public time now, and I want the other side also, and then we'll see what happens. There is a great deal of division within the state right now.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Welcome, Congressman Young. It's good to see you again, and I'll be standing with you, waving the flag for that Alaskan spirit. Thank you. My question is, did you vote for the Tax Reform Act of 1986, and what did that act do to protect and create American jobs and stabilize our financial institutions?
That's what you call a softball. No, there was only 60 of us who voted against the Grady 6 tax law. And it was at that time, you know, I'm not really an astute tax attorney. I'm just a country boy. But anything that's 1,500 pages big is wrong. So 60 of us voted against it. It's the best vote I ever made in my life. You know, the savings and loan collapse was created by the 1986 tax bill. The pass-through losses. They were after Donald Trump, but they got everybody else. That's what happened, including in Alaska. And now we're rushing to the mill to change some of those things back. But, you know, it's an example, and I want to go back to my health insurance. Let us not get caught into a political solution to a very serious problem. And that's what happened to that tax reform. And by the way, it cost $50 billion in new taxes to the American people. It destroyed the real estate industry. It was a disincentive for investment and saving. It ruined the IRAs, and it caused the savings and loans of $500 billion you're going to pay for. And that's an example of political solutions that were absolutely a disaster. So I didn't vote for it. There you go.
Thank you, Mr. President. Congressman Young, I've been told that the federal highway funds include 10% for the amenities, meaning that lighting and other structures would be included in that, and perhaps design costs also. I'm wondering if you can confirm that for me.
It's my understanding, Mary, that's true. Again, though, the money will come directly to the state. If that's part of the criteria, the state will probably adjust it whichever way they want to. But it does not go directly to the communities and such, and the state handles that part of it. So.
Representative Juanes?
Nilo? Thank you.
Good to see you again, Don.
Good to see you, Nilo.
We've had various interests with the State Department in the past. I remember telegrams from Secretary Schultz and the like. And in Saturday's Anchorage Times, we had this headline, the U.S. warning travelers to avoid Iraq and the Alaska Highway. I love that pairing, especially since we've been preparing for the celebration on the 50th anniversary of the Alaska Highway. What can the delegation do to get the State Department to treat us a little more respectfully, at least?
Well, as you know, Senator Murkowski has written a very scathing letter, and we have been in contact with the State Department. But all seriousness, this is a very serious thing to have a branch of the federal government write something so untruthful. But on the bright side of it, nobody pays any attention to the State Department anyway. That's the bright side. But to have somebody sit in Washington, D.C. and write that report without any contact or review or any study or talking with the American delegation, and by the way, the Canadian gentleman consulate was upstairs a while ago and I talked to him, to have that occur is absolutely ludicrous. And I hope to have someone's head on the block before this is over. But as far as the effect on the celebration and the traveling by Americans, believe me, nobody believes the State Department.
Representative Bina.
Thank you, Mr. President. Congressman.
Yes.
The Republican Party of Alaska has changed the way they would like to conduct their primaries. It appears the Supreme Court has determined that they have a right to determine how to elect their own candidates for the general election. But Alaskans, being independent that they are, we're starting to get a lot of feedback from people that they don't want this change to happen. Could you tell us your position on this issue and how you would like to see the party go forward with it? And if their position does not change, how you think we as a legislature should deal with the issue?
Well, very frank with you, I am just a little bit dismayed right now, because right here in this chamber, I was sitting right back there next Mr. Parnell, you're in my seat. Excuse me.
Well, I hope
don't
it's not
try
the
it
last
again.
Time.
Don't try it again. All right. We passed the open primary to this legislative body in 6 hours. It was the plank of the Republican Party in 6 hours, signed by the governor, Governor Hickel, the open primary. That's also, I want to bring up another subject. You know, what a party plank is for is to hang your candidates. But anyway, we did it. And I think it's worked well for the state of Alaska. I very much support it. I spoke to the Republican group in Anchorage Saturday and Friday, expressed that point of view. The vote was taken. It was 21-19. There is still an opportunity to change that vote. Now, I will suggest if the parties around the state all agreed, Democrat, Green, Independent, all agreed that the closed primary be the correct process to go through, then that's a different story. But to have one party decide this, I think it deprives people of making choices that are their rightful choice. I'm not going to tell you what to do in this body. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to suggest you ought to analyze this very closely. There's a myriad of solutions. One is, I don't think the Supreme Court is right. They say they are. It passed in this body. It ought to be repassed or redone or whatever they want to do. You have that responsibility to do what you want to do. But I think there's going to be an awful lot of disgruntled Alaskans, about 57% of those people, go to the polls and not know who they're going to vote for. I have to do what? Be Democrat or Republican? He's an independent. I have to do what? I think it's going to have a real backlash. And I think it's incorrect, and I'm brought this to the groups, and I hope that they change their position. If there isn't uniformity between all the parties, then we must, in fact, stop what's trying to be attempted. Now, there's Republicans in this room that don't agree with me necessarily. But I know the voting public. And there's going to be a tremendous feeling of being defranchised. And I hope you analyze it well. Those people have got the idea of the Louisiana program, which I sort of like, because if you get 50% of the primary votes, you don't have to run in a general election. Save lots of money, believe me, save lots of money. So it's an issue that I hope you all really look at it very closely. We've got a convention we're going to in April in Fairbanks, and hopefully that we'll analyze this a little better. We'll study it a little more, because truthfully, I think that the people of Alaska don't want it that way. That's my position on it.
Representative Randy Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Don, I have a question on base closures or Army post closures. As you know, Fort Richardson was slated for closure this past summer, and we didn't get that closure. But would you comment on what's going to happen on Fort Rich in particular and every other Army base, Army post or Air Force base around the state, including the Coast Guard?
Well, Randy, number one, the Coast Guard is always going to be in good shape. I'm confident we'll have as much funding, not as we want, but we'll always be funded very, very, very heavily. The military is going to be a question. Now, I have been in communication. Very frankly, I have not jumped up and down and hollered. And when the Fort Rich base was proposed to be closed, I contacted the people involved, contacted the Secretary of Defense. I said, if it's legitimately to be closed, then that's the way it has to be. Because if you believe in this bill down, everybody has to have their fair share. But they went back, reviewed it, and decided it had to be kept open. Now, that doesn't mean it won't be back on the block 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years from now, because they're going to close 43 more bases next year. That's across the United States. But it is my indication from the military, and I can't promise this, that even though we lost 600 people in Elmendorf and a few other people down, they're going to be replaced. The hospital's going into Elmendorf. It's replacing the Clark Air Force Base. And we're going to see military come into the state as the bases are being closed overseas. They'll be coming into the state of Alaska because of the training space and, very frankly, the proximity to the rest of the world. But this is one thing I want to open a question here, and I will not be Howard Pollack. Believe me, I will not. He's my dear friend, but he used to answer too long and make a speech. But we are going into an era of time in the United States today. We didn't have 10 years ago. We're going to a peacetime era. And there's demand to build down the military. And estimates are there'll be 3 million military-oriented individuals, be it working for the military or in the military itself, available in the job market in 4 years. And we as a Congress have to adjust to that and get jobs back into their hands. And we can do that, not make-believe jobs, get the manufacturing aspect on the road again. Now, in the state of Alaska, I don't think we're going to be faced with that. I do believe the military will grow back. But I can't stand here and guarantee it won't happen someday, because as it builds down. But we have Greeley, Elmendorf, Eielson, Wainwright, and, of course, Fort Rich. But the Coast Guard will be funded, and I think our military will be pretty stabilized. Georgina.
Thank you, Mr. President. And it is a pleasure to have you, Congressman Young, here in Alaska. Of course, the question that I'm going to ask is on ANWR, and I would like to hear your comments again on some of or many of those that I represent that are concerned about the protection of the environment, the protection of the habitat, the protection of a way of life for those that are directly affected should ANWR proceed. And I would like to hear your comments.
Well, of course, I appreciate their and respect their concerns. But they are concerns that can be addressed. See, if I thought for a moment that the caribou would be in any way destroyed or disturbed or eliminated, I wouldn't support ANWR, period. And I argue it can be done, it should be done, and very frankly, it must be done on time and on schedule. You've heard me say this before, most of you. Our biggest danger and danger to mankind is to act in a reaction position. If we act ahead of time, we can avoid all our problems. But if we have, and believe me, the crunch is coming, it may not be during my lifetime. But wherever the oil is envisioned to be, they will go after it, being the federal government. Remember, this is federal land, on federal land, under a national emergency, it can be opened up tomorrow. And they can forget the way of life, they can forget all their aspects, and then forget the environment, because it'll be federal government doing it without any regulations under the national provision of emergency. So I'm suggesting what we must do is open it on time, make sure all the inputs put in and all the environment aspects that they're interested in be protected. But to say no, 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 it will happen someday and it'll be much more painful than it will occur right now.
Senator Cotton?
Sam? The only way it'll change, Sam, is in court. They're not the votes in the Congress. In fact, they're trying to constantly, under every bill, to keep us from exporting gas, exporting oil, exporting logs. They want to treat this state as a stepchild. And the Congress has the power to do that. They did it in the Alaska National Lands Act. They broke the compact. They did it with the export of oil in 1973 when we passed the pipeline bill, and by the way, the state agreed with that at that time, too. And it may have been under the table, but it was agreed to. That was one of the provisions of getting that bill passed. But it was treating a state differently than all other states. Now, consequently, they passed a bill that said that no oil could be exported from any other state. Well, what happened? California went in and got, you know, a lot of permits, and they're exporting oil today. They're heavy crude, which can't be refined in California. All I'm saying is every state, if we're to be part of the United States, has to be treated equally. And only through the courts can that be decided. And only the state can be aggressive to do so. Because politically, it's very nearly impossible. Politically, they look upon a state as a very rich, very, very pampered state. I hear this all the time. You get $1,000 a year, you get $250 a month of longevity, you're over 65 years of age, you're going to pass a health bill. I hear this all the time. So I'm saying politically the power is not there. But I think judicially it is there. And that's why I'm encouraging you to back the government whenever this occurs. I've had my disputes with the oil industry over this because the oil industry itself has never been too excited about being able to ship their oil to Japan. And the state of Alaska has never attempted to ship their oil to Japan or wherever they want to, which I think was possible if they wish to take the bull by the horns. So I'm saying if the oil, to have the tool to ship it wherever they want to, is viable and viable to them. But politically, it's not possible. Yes, Sam? Yes, absolutely. Now, remember, I was up there during the bill when it passed. And the state agreed to it, and I agreed to it at that time because we needed a pipeline. There wasn't much dissension from this body either in 1973. Yes, yeah.
Representative Phillips. Thank you, Mr. President. And Congressman Young, welcome back, and we're very pleased to have you here with us today. An issue that came up in my district last week that caused a great deal of consternation to the people on the Kenai Peninsula was the introduction in Congress by Congressman Green of New York, House Bill 330 that would prohibit hunting national refuge lands. In checking with the chairman of the committee, I found that he is not planning to proceed with the bill or move the bill out of the committee this year. I'm wondering if you could give us a reading on the sentiment in Congress as to that type of policy or that type of a call.
Well, Gail, this is an issue, and again, I don't want to be a foreteller of the future doomsday it may be. Hunting is in serious trouble in the nation today. Unfortunately, because of our population shift to the major metropolitan areas, there's little contact, little understanding of what hunting's about the management tool. And Mr. Green's bill is not going to go anywhere as long as I serve on that committee, period, even with Gary Studs being the chairman. It's not going to move. But I belong to the Sportsman's Caucus. We have 135 members of the Congress that are actively organizing, trying to change the attitude of the general public about hunting and guns, about the management tool and the necessity of it. And the first step is, of course, to do it on a fishing game wildlife refuge. They say, well, this is for fishing game. It's not for hunting. And it has some play in New York. But don't kid yourselves, that threat of taking away our hunting rights on our fish and wildlife reserves and our federal land is very evident. So that's something that that I hopefully will people in Alaska will be aware of, and we will try to make sure it doesn't happen. Trapping is another thing. I fight that every year, and we're able to stop it. Mr. Green you have to understand, Mr. Green lives downtown in a skyscraper. He's also a multimillionaire, and the people he represents think hunting is awful. I can make a comment now, but I won't.
Thank you, Congressman.
I want to thank all of you again and for listening to me. I'm sure you'll look forward to Senator Murkowski and Senator Stevens. And my best years were spent in this body, in this floor. The years following that have been great, but these were my best. Again, I thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Will the House stand at ease while the chamber is clear? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had certified the journals, and that brings us to introduction of guests. Are there any introduction of guests? Representative McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, it's a pleasure to be introducing my constituents from the Northwest Arctic Borough School Board, Reggie Jewell, Pete Schaefer, and Superintendent Gonian. Please help me welcome them.
Representative Foster.
Thank you. I've got in Gallery A, Tracy Chamberlain. Whoa, what happened here? Tracy Chamberlain took my former staffer's position, John Walsh, now with Community and Regional Affairs. She's formerly with National Broadcasting Corporation. She was a Connie Chung of Australia TV, and she's also with Statewide News, formerly Tracy Chamberlain and Gallery A. I asked her what else I could say about her, and she says that she eats all of her vegetables. So.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I asked the body to help me welcome a constituent from Kodiak Island, that's C.C. Esparza and Gallery B.
Representative Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have a distinguished superintendent from the UPIT School District, Mr. Lee Dishner. I'm sorry, I'm not recognizing one name back there, but also Willie Casile and Eddie Phillips. I'm sorry.
I see Representative Mackey, you've been seeking the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce one of my constituents also in Gallery A. I think he's probably known to a lot of you. He's a Vice President with Kluckman Forest Products, Bill Thomas from Haines.
Representative Gonzalez.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like this group to help me welcome Genesee Jensen from Healy. She is with the school board and also with the school Rail Belt Mental Board. Genesee Jensen on Gallery A.
Representative Bruckman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like you to help me welcome a friend of mine who's sitting in Gallery B. She's actually a constituent of Representative Donnelly and Gruenberg's. She's a longtime activist for children and is here for the Head Start program and on the Conference of Young Children. I'd appreciate if you'd help me welcome Larry.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A constituent of mine and Representative Lehman's in Gallery B, Colleen Patrick Riley.
Any further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
Message dated February 7th. The Senate has passed the following and transmitted it for consideration. Senate Bill number 349 amended by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the governor and act relating to the implementation of special federal programs for unemployment compensation and providing for an effective date.
Three standing committees, Labor and Commerce, Judiciary, as well as Finance.
Message dated February 7th. The Senate has passed House Joint Resolution number 39 with the following amendments. Senate CS for House Joint Resolution 39 Resources and has returned it for consideration.
That will be in your limbo file when that comes out.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications that come before this body?
The following report is on file in the Chief Clerk's Office from the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics Advisory Opinions, July 1st, 1990 through January 20, 1991. And January 21, 1991 through January 12, 1992. The following reports are on file in the Speaker's office from the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation, FY91, Alaska State Park Fee Report, from the Alaska Judicial Council, Alaska Child Visitation Mediation Pilot Project, February 1992. I have no further communications.
This brings us down to reports of standing committees.
The State Affairs Committee has considered House Concurrent Resolution 44, 26th Annual Boys State, recommends due pass and attaches zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, Kubina, Moyer, Bruckman, Baker, Miller, and Choquette. Report was signed by Kubina Chairman. HCR 44 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Concurrent Resolution 43, 24th Annual Girls State, recommends due pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, Kubina, Moyer, Bruckman, Baker, Miller, and Choquette. Report was signed by Kubina Chairman. HCR 43 has no further referral. State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 323, PERS credit for BIA service, recommends due pass and attaches 2-0 fiscal notes. Signing due pass, Kubina, Moyer, Bruckman, Baker, Miller, and Choquette. The report was signed by Chairman Kubina. HB 323 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Cynthia Parker by Representative Gruenberg. Honoring Warren Fairbanks by Representative Gruenberg. Honoring Coast Guard H3 Helicopter Search and Rescue Team, Senator Jaroff and Representative Davidson. Honoring June Parker, Senator Fisher. Honoring Morgan Hansen, Senator Fisher. Honoring Ketchikan Gateway Borough Mayor Ralph Bartholomew by Senator Jones. In memoriam, Jane H. Petrie by Senator Rohde.
Those citations will be referred to the Rules Committee for calendaring.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 49 by Representative Kopanen, recognizing 1992 as the 75th anniversary of the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
One standing committee, Health, Education, and Social Services.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 50 by Representatives Kubina, Grusendorf, M.W. Miller, R. Phillips, Moyer, Boyer, Gruenberg, Davidson, Donnelly, Mackey, Brown, Bruckman, Carney, B. Davis, C. Davis, Ellis, Finkelstein, Hudson, Kopanen, Larson, McLean, Navarre, Parnell, Sharp, and Ulmer, supporting open primary elections.
State Affairs.
House Joint Resolution Number 69 by Representative B. Davis, urging Congress to grant statehood to the District of Columbia.
State Affairs.
I have no further resolutions, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 352 by Representatives Lincoln, Ellis, B. Davis, Mackey, Ivan, Gruenberg, Lehman, Donnelly, and Finkelstein. An act relating to a curriculum for native language education and providing for an effective date.
Hess and the Finance Committee.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 383 by Representatives Kopanen and B. Davis. An act exempting certain persons from jury service.
Judiciary Committee.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 418 by Representative McLean. An act requiring employers to provide certain employees who are minors with a break from work.
Labor and Commerce, as well as Finance.
House Bill 455 by Representative B. Davis. An act relating to high school counselors.
The Hess Committee, as well as Finance.
House Bill 456 by Representative B. Davis. An act relating to elementary school counselors.
Hess and Finance.
House Bill 457 by Representatives Ellis, Donnelly, Kopanen, and B. Davis. An act establishing the Alaska Children's Health Corporation and the Alaska Healthy Start Program and relating to insurance.
That'll go to Hess, Labor and Commerce, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 458 by Representative Gruenberg. An act relating to the maturity of instruments creating liens on real property and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and Judiciary.
House Bill 459 by Representatives Parnell and R. Phillips. An act relating to the hiring and salaries of the executive officers of certain boards, commissions, authorities, and other state entities, and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction.
Okay, this brings us down to the daily calendar. We do have some citations on that calendar, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are 7 citations on today's calendar. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that they be approved.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of any of these citations on today's calendar? Hearing none, they're adopted. Unfinished business? Any unfinished business to come before this body? Announcements of standing committees or special committees? Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to remind members of the body and the Resources Committee that tomorrow the Resources Committee will meet to hear the second overview of resource issues, and tomorrow we'll be hearing about fisheries. I would also like to announce that on Friday, the 14th, we will have an overview of the data collection methodology and analysis of the Department of Fish and Game in order to increase understanding by the committee of how data is collected, how it is used, and would ask that those interested particularly in this issue please mark their calendars for Friday the 14th. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Special Committee on Oil and Gas will hear House Bill 433, which was to be heard Friday, but due to illnesses and people out of town for emergency purposes, we weren't able to take it up. This bill is rescheduled over from Friday, February 6th, and I ask everybody to be there this afternoon.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we have a brief at ease?
Would the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we were under announcements. Representative Navarre, announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Finance Committee will be hearing after our 1:30 meeting. We'll be hearing the bills that we held over from Friday. And at 1:30 today, we're having a confidential briefing with the Department of Law regarding some of the oil and gas cases that are under litigation. And any member is welcome. Want to get an idea of how much money it's going to cost.
Representative Moyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I'd like to bring up for reconsideration my vote on HJR 60 relating to the Smithsonian Museum expansion.
Okay. Consideration of House Joint Resolution 60 is before us. Representative Taylor.
Yeah, call the House.
The House has been called. We are under announcements. Is there any further committee? Representative Taylor? Committee announcements then. Okay. Mm-hmm. Representative Donner?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On Friday, we carried over SB 35 to our Monday meeting. That's the landlord-tenant law at the request of the majority leader, who's not here today. So it's likely we'll try to do some work on it today, but it probably also be carried over to Wednesday.
Okay. Representative Cabina?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. State Affairs heard House Bill 61. Child care centers and public buildings. We will be doing further work on that on Wednesday, so it is held over.
Any Representative Finkelstein?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Labor and Commerce Committee tomorrow, 1 p.m., is going to be hearing House Bill 418, work breaks for working minors, House Bill 392, non-probate transfers of death, and House Bill 425, the Insurance Reform Act of 1992.
Any further? Representative Moyer?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. A reminder to the members of the International Trade Committee, we are meeting tomorrow at 5 o'clock to hear from Mr. Roger Bull. He's the Canadian Consul General for the Northwestern States. It seems like it's a very appropriate time to be hearing from one of the Canadian government officials. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader? No, the call has not. Mr. Minority Leader?
I was just going to announce, Mr. Speaker, that the Republican caucus on the floor will meet over in 603 immediately following today's session for a discussion.
Okay. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, under unfinished business, there's a request for an excused absence for Representative Mackey from February 11th at 9 a.m. to the same day at plain time. Move and ask unanimous consent that the that be approved.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, Representative Mackey is excused on those dates, or on that date. Any further announcements? Representative Betty Davis?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, there will be a children's caucus meeting immediately after this adjournment in 205.
Okay, the call has been satisfied. The question before us is House Joint Resolution 60. Representative Taylor?
Yeah, I was just going to make note that nobody's had a chance to eat yet, so if my members don't mind, we'll make that meeting at 12:30 instead of immediately following, so everybody has a chance to get something to eat before they come over.
Okay, just push Taylor. I couldn't see him. It's Taylor. Okay, the resolution is before us in third reading and under debate. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Joint Resolution 60 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Representative Lehman, the roll is open for you. Clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative McLean?
From nay to yea.
From nay to yea. Any other member? Representative Cabina?
Nay to yea.
From nay to yea.
I have to have McLean vote first.
Representative McLean, the thing is open. You have to punch out your vote and then re-register. Any other changes? Will the clerk tally the board?
35 yeas, 2 nays.
House Joint Resolution 60 has passed the House on reconsideration. This drops us down to special orders. Representative Moyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Request the permission of the body to speak on dog mushing.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's that time of year, February, when the great dog racing events of Alaska commence. Of course, I'm talking about the Yukon Quest, which starts this year in Fairbanks and moves its way through my district and then through the representative from Anderson's district into Canada. So I wanted to announce that all 27 entrants are through the first checkpoint, which is at the Angel Creek Lodge. Now, I know many of you know where that is, having visited there recently at the end of last year. At this time, the top three racers, two are from Nenana, Steve Ketzler in first, Charlie Bolding, last year's winner of the race and record pace setter, and in third place at this time from Fairbanks is Paul Taylor. And I'll be announcing periodically the results of the race. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further special orders? Representative Cabina.
Mr. Speaker, just briefly, if I may, on primaries.
Any objections? Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. HCR 50 was introduced today, Mr. Speaker, and there are a number of co-sponsors. There were some people that we were not able to get to or were out of town, and I just encourage the body, if their name's not on it, to please add their green slip to the clerk today so that it can be on with the first printing. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under special or general announcements, it's my pleasure this morning to note that a friend and colleague of ours is celebrating his birthday today, so I'd ask that all of the House members rise and join in our now famous rendition of the Happy Birthday song for Representative Mark Hanley.
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Representative Boyd. To you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mark. Happy birthday to you.
Representative Hanley, it is your birthday. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Despite the rumors of my early demise, and those are that I'm almost 40, I'm 34.
Very protective, huh? Any further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Move that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday.
10 a.m. Wednesday.